if you have accessed our website, and I don't think it's any mystery that the churches across the country, for the most part, are listening to the federal, state, and local authorities regarding self-quarantining, and we here at First Assembly are certainly complying with what we have been asked to do. But as pastor of this wonderful congregation, we are going to be attempting, at least to our best abilities, to have every Sunday morning when you wake up something available on our website that'll be fresh that you can stream and certainly make available to your family and to those that may be nearest and dearest to you. We'll obviously realize we can't get together at the present moment. We hope that's going to be lifted sometime in the near future. If we move a little farther into it, we may have to do things even a bit more unique. But at least we're going to be streaming for you an audio message. And I'll try to prepare something as I always do, praying and asking God for wisdom and direction that will minister to you something that you can receive, from which you can hear from God, as we are seeking to do that very thing for you and yours. We do want to remind you that even though we cannot gather for events as we typically would do, that if you have giving that you want to connect with us, can either mail it in to the church or you can access it online through our website. If you have questions, contact the office and we'll be glad to help you with that. Obviously, during this time, we're going to be encouraging you to do all that you can to help us as we're doing all we can to help you. Obviously, because of the close down of hospitals, nursing homes, we're very limited, and yet we still will do all we can externally to communicate with you, minister to your needs. Please keep us informed of any matters that we may not be fully aware of, and we'll certainly try through our leadership to communicate with you. It's a difficult time, but we believe because of the nature of this congregation that we're going to be able to not only weather this, but we're going to come through it stronger than ever. Please keep in contact with our website through Facebook and the other external means to be aware of what will be happening. We'll try to do all we can to communicate directly with those. And if we do not have your information, don't hesitate to, once again, contact the office with phone numbers, email addresses, or any of the rest. So if there is information that you may not be receiving, we don't want to single anyone out for sure. I'd like you, if you have a Bible close to you there, I'd like to read to you a passage out of 2 Peter chapter 3, the message of this day for you. And again, unusual, never done anything quite like this, have done teachings and various sorts of things, but not an actual quote-unquote preaching ministry. I'm preaching to a house full of spirits today. So you're going to have to just act like you're here. I'm going to act like you're here. Take your Bible and let's look in 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to read to you a passage that the Lord has truly been dealing with me about during this self-quarantine time. I've been praying about what to share that would be applicable to this present moment, and I keep coming back to this passage at this time. So 2 Peter 3, 1 through 18, reading to you today from the New International Version. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders. Now, this would be, of course, the first and second epistle of Peter. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last day scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming?" he promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and with water. By water also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider or understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, or I think the King James read, will melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away with the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Father, we pray for those that are accessing this message online. Lord, in their homes, their families, their circumstances, situations, some who have completely shut themselves in and are not even able to get out because the environments in which they find themselves would not allow such, or even allow folks in to see them or to communicate with them. For those that are still having to work, those that are still running businesses, those that may very well be in circumstances that may be less than advantageous, we pray, Lord, that somehow this message will encourage them, speak to them, and that, Lord, for those that are sharing this with others through Facebook and other social means, Father, may your word be like a lamp unto our feet, like a light unto our path. And help us, Lord, today to grasp supernatural wisdom in spite of the context of the current times. We praise you and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the manner in which we view our past largely determines our present. And how we look forward unto the future is greatly going to impact the way we live today. Every one of us is living at this moment in the midst of a tension between the past and the future, which largely determines our modus operandi of this particular time. How we live, how we speak, how we think, how we act, how we treat other people, these things are largely the creation of this tension between the way we understand our past and the way we look forward unto our futures. As a person, literally, the way I am at this time is the result, basically, of these things. Clearly, there are other determinative factors, such as our natural constitution, personality, our particular bent or view, various persuasions, intellectual ascent, even our family upbringing. But as a whole, these things are truly the combination of more of what has happened in our past, the way we view our future, than particularly those matters or those things. The one great thing about being a child of God today, through the blood, the name, and the intervening priesthood of Christ, it is he deals with us and explains both fully our past and our future, and all of that, therefore, makes sense of our present, who we are, what we are, and where we are right now. At this moment, we're alive. At this moment, in him, we live and move and have our being. At this moment, because of his grace, we have faith, power, and authority. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ now lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In Philippians 1:21, Paul would go on to say, for to me to live is Christ. In other words, the kingdom of God is not just, as they say, pie in the sky, by and by, then and there, but it absolutely has application here and now. Therefore, my understanding of the future determines how I live, whether it be in hope or in pessimistic fatalism. We really, truly have a choice at this very moment, irrespective of this crisis that we're all walking through at this time. Either we're going to live with faith or we're going to live with fear. A lot of our decision in that regard is determined on how we view the future that is even yet ahead of us. But my concept of how the Lord has dealt with my past helps me to understand where I am now and where I'm going. First of all, let's talk about our past. Oh, the marvelous, majestic, miraculous, sweet, holy wonder of the cleansing blood of Jesus. I believe that if there's one truth that the contemporary church as a whole is failing to take into its fullest account, it is the utter efficacy of the blood of the Lamb. Listen to the words of the inspired, inerrant word of the living God. In 1 John 1:7 and following, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful. Hallelujah. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, from time to time, I've been accused of being very, very simple in my communication and preaching, of which I don't take as an insult. I actually take as a great compliment. I've never made any pretense about being intellectual or eloquent. But really, in regard, it's even simpler than most people may accuse me of being, because truly, these messages are from a simple-minded person ministering to a simple folk who are preaching about a simple God, preaching from a simple Bible, a simple truth, and a simple reality, and it's this. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not the part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This is all we've got, but it's all we'll ever need. We must somehow or another come to believe with all the passion that is within us that our past has been resolved, or we're in the most dire of troubles indeed. Now, I know that there are folks even today under the sound of my voice that have been through terrible, unmentionable things in your past. Things that have happened to you, not just in the immediate, but maybe up to 20, 30, 40, even 50 years ago. And from the depth of my soul, I truly say to everyone, I'm sorry. My heart bleeds for you, and childhoods and lifestyles, even adulthood that's been broken and even in some respects robbed. I can't tell you that I fully understand everything you've been through, and those that often make these little statements, like when you're telling them or communicating with them or bearing your heart or being transparent, and someone says, well, you know, I understand that. Really, maybe we never fully grasp or understand. Maybe it's sometimes one of the stupidest things we say, but regardless of whatever place you've been in, no two situations are exactly alike. We may never fully, truly understand what others have been through. But I say to the lot of us, all of us, I'm very, very sorry of the things that many have walked through. 1,000 times over, I'm sorry for where you've been hurt and for the persons that have hurt you. But now here we are. Though there's much that we may not fully comprehend of the lives of those that live around us, and maybe sometimes we don't even fully comprehend what has happened to us. But there's one thing we know and believe. With respect to whatever has been, we can plead the blood of the Lamb and look to him now and address our past to the priesthood of Christ himself. He alone can heal us inside and out, where we've been. Everything that has happened, what has been done to us, can be placed truly under the blood. Anything that was done to us or we have done to others, we must place under the blood. No matter what horrible things, there may be unbelievable wickedness or things maybe we've never mentioned to another soul. How many of us would ever want our lives like a videotape to be played back, God forbid, for others to see? Terrible, awful, horrible things. Horrors beyond horrors. But one thing we know, somehow because of Christ, the past is the past. We plead the Lamb. We believe for the forgiveness of our sins. We let it go once and for all. You and I cannot drag our past around with all of its guilt, condemnation, fear, and anxiety like some stiff corpse for the rest of our life, or we'll continue to suffer in the present for matters that have been long ago dead and done. We must resolve our past in the cleansing river of the healing presence of the Holy Spirit, and Christ helps us to do that. If nothing else, he helps us to put the past in the past and to cleanse our conscience, as the book of Hebrews says, from dead works that we might serve the living God. I don't know if you remember that moving moment in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress when Pilgrim is trudging up the hill, the burden of the guilt and condemnation regarding his sins nearly causing him to collapse, beaten and defeated and filled with despair and anxiety, wondering where he could find relief from such a load as he drags himself up the slope. But then Jesus came, and with his sword in the name Evangelist, the Lord severs the weight from Pilgrim's back. And it went tumbling down the mountain. I don't think I'm the only one that today is thankful that the burden that we've had to shoulder has been resolved. I'm thankful today we can sing the song with the saints of old. I remember when my burdens rolled away. And in this very moment, if you're listening to this message that's being streamed to you somehow, some way, by the authority and the promises of the new covenant, sealed by the Lamb of the living God, I adjure you with all that is high and holy, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of those sins, past, yea, even present, can be once and for all addressed and dealt with. And then we can say with the apostle in Romans 8, 1 and following, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. So he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. From the shadow of the Kremlin to the ghetto of Indianapolis, the process is the same. The prophet said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There is no sin, no matter how great, ancient, or hidden, that God cannot forgive. What is there of man that God has not and will not forgive? Let us finally let go of our past and embrace in this present moment the glorious truth known. You are not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Now listen to this. Your attitude toward where you've been largely determines where you are right now. If you understand yourself to be a cleansed, forgiven, guilt-free, born-again, blood-washed, Bible-believing child of the eternal God with a future that will never perish, spoil, or fade, you will live with a sense of confidence and an assurance no matter where we may be as a society and world right now. Why? Because our paths have been resolved in the Lordship of Christ and the sovereignty of the living God. Isn't it amazing to anyone? Some folks who claim to be Christians, they have this sense of almost confusion and disorientation, even in the present moment. I talk to them. They seem beat down and discouraged. I have a feeling deep within me that their past, that in some respect they don't fully recognize as being resolved, somehow is influencing him in this present moment with questions, if that has not been, but where am I now? But there's nothing we can ever do to change the mind of God about the process of redemption that he has made available to us and ours. We do not need to fear the present or the future, because the God who has fully resolved our past, if we can just embrace that by faith, is the God that will also help us in this moment and the days that are even yet to come. One of the most magnificent joys of the kingdom of light is we've come to know that God sees us not as we were, or even as we see ourselves, but through the efficacy of the blood. That's an understanding I talked about earlier that we've got to grasp. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, once again the apostle writes, God made Christ, who had no sin, to be a sin offering for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And do you understand what this verse is saying? The Lord views us now as the righteousness of God in Christ. In spite of all our faults, all of our errors, all of our failings, our mistakes, yea, even our sins, what Jesus did at Calvary, he transferred his righteousness to our account. Our sins have been transferred to his account. And I look different in the eyes of the Lord than I once did, and maybe even unto myself. In spite of all of our imperfections, I am viewed by him as pure and clean, as his own sinless son. I don't know about you, but that's a wonder almost too marvelous for us to be able to wrap our arms around. But I often think in this regard of that account in Shakespeare, where poor, wretched Lady Macbeth, having plotted the murder of her husband, the king, conspired to take the throne. As she prowled the parapets of the castle, wringing her hands over all these imaginary stains of blood that she senses, I wonder how many gallons of water she'd wasted laboring over and over again to clean away the guilt and condemnation of innocent blood that was on her, that was before her in her heart, her conscience, her memory. And pacing back and forth, she cries out, "Out, out, damned spot, what ocean can cleanse my hands?" And we say today, as an answer to Lady Macbeth, there is a way, the blood of the Savior. Oceans cannot cleanse us from one spot of another man's blood, but the blood of the Lamb of God, appropriately applied, can wash away oceans of sin. Hallelujah. And the way we view our past that has been resolved by that blood gives us a hope, second of all, as we consider our future. We understand who we are in the present by how God has dealt with our past. But it goes even farther than that. Because he has resolved our past, he's also secured our future. Now, I know this is simple, but the gospel that so many complicate is in reality just this. It's child's play. If we would lay aside much of our prejudices and preconceived notions. I know people say all the time, it just isn't that easy, but it is. I may not comprehend all that's coming or even is happening now. I believe with all of my heart that those who claim to know everything, quote unquote, are just as confused about a lot of this as any of us are. I've said it publicly, but just in case somebody may be getting this that has not been in our services here at Crawfordsville, I've often said the person who acts like he has all the answers, put your hand over your wallet. They're about to try to sell you the newest tape series filled with everything that's going to happen in 2020, but I can guarantee you 90 days ago, no one thought we would be where we are now. I am willing to be transparent enough to tell you I don't fully understand everything that is coming in future days. But what I do grasp in a crystal clear way is that in the end times, there's going to come an era of such wickedness and deception that the world has never seen the like of it. Mass confusion, planetary disorder, even a vacuum of leadership where the people of the earth will cry out for someone, anyone, to guide them to restore law and order. They will be willing to entrust their finances, their home, yea, their very souls to anyone who can stop the confusion. And we're living on the verge of that very thing right now. The wail of the masses is, give us someone that can solve these pandemics and we will follow. Prophetically, we know into that void of global leadership will rest a figure the Bible calls the Antichrist. And he will be empowered with a devilish anointing to work these supernatural signs and miracles whereby to deceive the whole world. He won't need to conquer the peoples of the earth with his armies, but his ability to masquerade like an angel of light will endear him to the hearts of the masses. The beast will come with an olive branch in his mouth, but in reality he'll be a wolf in sheep's clothing. In a biblical sense, several things are clear. There's going to come a time where the concerns of the world are going to be resolved at a peace table and people are going to cry for the first time in recorded history, peace in our time. There will be an elimination of the distinctions of religions and tribes and nations as people will suddenly begin to realize we got to start quibbling over the minutia. We got to find a way to come together to solve our worldwide problems. We know there's going to be this miraculous sense about this figurehead that he's not going to at first take an open stand against God and his kingdom, but as things progress with an anointing by Lucifer himself in order to have the full attention of the world, he will do such to confirm his rule and authority, doing astonishing things politically, militarily, socially, economically. Things that no one can imagine were possible. Conflicts and crises and pandemics. Somehow he'll make sense of it all. And the world will stand back in amazement. And he'll use the gratitude of a thankful world to arm himself, announcing himself ultimately that he is God. Demanding all the worship of his image set up in the temple in Jerusalem and will plunge the nations and the world toward an Armageddon. But everyone hear this. When a world begins to utter such an unbelievable sound, and everything seems to be pointing in the same direction of a worldwide global control, we need not be afraid. For the scripture says, in these moments, in such a time as this, we should lift up our heads, because our redemption is drawing nigh. I do not know all that we're going to have to go through in the days to come. I never envisioned us being where we are this very day. But we understand, and I've said it before, that more believers have lost their lives in this century than at any time in recorded history. Right now in our world, every 4 minutes, someone gives their life for the cause of Christ. There are people who are being imprisoned, gunned down. I shudder how brothers and sisters in the faith are suffering at this present hour. not to mention what is going on in our own personal times and the quarantines and the people that are battling these pandemics and these illnesses. Much may happen before the rapture of the church, which in my opinion will launch the regime of the Antichrist, even though the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world. I may be misdirected in some way, though I don't think so. But I believe with all of my heart that there are things even greater that are on the horizon, that much of what is happening even now is going to prepare for. That people ask me in recent days, is it the beginning of Armageddon? Listen, beloved, we've been marching toward Armageddon for an exceedingly long time. But there are going to be conditions that are finally going to bring them into global focus. And I believe the capturing out of the church will be that particular thing. And you can go back to our messages on our website here when we reference 2 Thessalonians 2 and other passages where it talks about how the church is withholding the full tsunami of darkness. We're living in such a time. But I chose 2 Peter as the key message and the key focus scripture of this particular time because Peter's trying to tell us that who we are going to be in Christ is far more important than these distresses that we're going through now. Let me say it again. Peter's trying to tell us that who we're going to be in Christ is far more important than the distresses that we're going through at this present time. This letter was read by people who fully well knew what it was to be arrested and imprisoned and to go through unthinkable things. People that had played in arenas, made the food of hungry lions. It has been the encouragement down through the ages to believers who have found themselves in jail and in trouble and oppression, hardship and trial, even in persecutions, that they would read passages like this. And I one more time read to you 2 Peter 3:7 and following. The present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we to be? We ought to live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. And watch this. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt. Don't you think this would change the perspective of a man or a woman about ready to lose their life because of faith? Our sense of victory and confidence to face the adversities is very really determined by how we see the future, even beyond the days in this moment. In Jesus of Nazareth, we have an afterword. We believe the best is yet to come. No matter how good or bad things may be right now, there are even better days ahead. It doesn't make any difference how we may feel in this existential moment. We have the promise and the assurance from God Himself through the agency of His inerrant word that things are only going to get better for us while it gets even worse in this world. Why are we even surprised that things are happening even as they are? We're in a temporary, transitory, perishable world. Our ultimate goal is not the here and now. Let me say it again. Our ultimate goal is not the here and now. It's the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The one great strength that the early church possessed, aside from the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, was the fact that moment by moment they looked for the glorious imminent appearing, they believed, of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they lived with a constant sense that at any moment He could return and that kingdom that they'd hoped for was going to be fleshed out and played out. And in no uncertain terms, Peter tells us, there is coming a day when the heavens are going to pass away. The matters of the universe are going to be dissolved. There are those that suggest that this is a picture of a great cataclysmic nuclear holocaust. Who of us can be sure? All we know for certain is that the creative components as we know them are going to catch fire and the globe is going to burn. The thing we call atmosphere is going to be vaporized. The apostle writes, the elements will melt. Listen to this. I don't fully know all this means. I can't codify for you all the details that we will know beyond any shadow of a doubt that is going to happen. I can't answer all those questions. But there's one thing I know. Come what may, coronavirus, quarantine, shutdown of the countries of the world, God forbid martial law, and who knows what else. But I tell you today, when all the dust is settled and the explosive powers that refine this cosmos have stilled, there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. Have you ever looked into the summer night sky and seen the glory of the Milky Way? Have you ever stared at the beauty of an African violet? Have you ever stood on a mountain peak and gazed out at the beauty of God's creation? Have you ever listened to the roar of the ocean waves pounding at the high tide? Have you ever closed your eyes in the midst of a forest of pines and hear the air rushing? Nothing you've ever seen, heard, or known of this world will compare to the new one that is yet to come. And what we're in now is a trial run, and there may be much before we get there. But I can say today, no sin, no crime, no war, no sorrow, no famine, no disease, everything will be perfected in the righteous kingdom of that holy Christ. And we look forward to all that, and these situations we face only more make us long for it. In fact, 2 Peter 3:11 and following, he writes, since everything will be destroyed in this way, everything means everything. What kind of people ought we to be? We ought to live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to all this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace. You know, there's a statement that people sometimes use that passes for great wisdom, but it actually isn't. Folks will say about some man or some woman who is really passionate about their faith that they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. You ever heard that? That's basically not possible. You can be so earthly minded, you're of no heavenly good, but never the other way around. Why? The more certain I am about my future, the more I know what I do here in this world is important because I'm going to live forever. When I become convinced that I'm an eternal being who's going to stand before an unbiased, omnipotent judge who cannot be plea bargained, bribed, or manipulated, the more sure I am that I'd better make my life count now. You know, I can find it extremely interesting that in Peter's first message, follow the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, he said in Acts 2 and 40, in the New International Version, he said, save yourself from this corrupt generation. The King James renders it a bit differently. Save yourself from this untoward generation. All translations render the highlighted word perverse, corrupt, twisted, crooked. But the King James selects a now antiquated term which carries with it the idea of being without purpose, design, or plan. We used to use the expression good enough for government work. Today, that's become the definition of almost everything. Sloppy, slovenly, lazy immorality. Why? Because people have no eternal direction. So why should any one direction I make today be of any value or significance? I'm convinced the way I live, the way I treat my neighbor, what I do in secret, how I think and talk, whether I cheat or play fair, is all of optimal importance because there's more to life than just the here and now. If I knew when I was going to die, would that keep me from living the way I am today? What would keep me from lying and conniving, indulging the flesh, and operating in the total realm of visceral satisfaction? The one great holding power that keeps us from living like a crook and a pervert is the truth that one day we're going to stand before the judge of all ages. And what I do determines what happens there. That's Peter's point. Heaven changes the way I live now. A true revival-touched person counts the present as unimportant as compared to what yet awaits. It's only important in light of what is coming. I live today knowing where I'm going. Not just as if there is nothing in the tomorrow and it makes no difference. But I plead with you. If I only live for what is happening now, then this instant has no explanation. This is the failure of secular humanism, atheistic liberalism, both politically, economically, and socially. If this is all there is, then it all means nothing. It's all going to burn. Or in Peter's word, he said, it's all going to melt. Therefore, if I live only for what I get my hands on now, my life becomes what Shakespeare said, a tale told by an idiot filled with sound and fury signifying nothing. But if I know my past is under the blood, my future is secured in the Christ who transcends heaven and earth, then my present has meaning because my past has been resolved in redemption and my eternity is an inheritance that is yet to come that will never perish, spoil, or fade. The joy of the believer is that we can stand toe-to-toe, eyeball-to-eyeball with the enemy himself, and we can say, you can't taunt me with my past because it's redeemed, and responds to the approaching hoofbeats of Armageddon. You cannot strike me down with fear because the rest of the world's knees, though they may be turning to jelly and their hearts melting with fear, I serve the living God. Let the elements melt. Yea, my own dear flesh, because this body reserved for me that awaits is one that cannot be affected by sorrow, tears, crying, or pain. Our present has meaning because our past is under the blood, because our future is secured. I finish today with this. Now listen, if all of that be true, that Christ has resolved our past, which gives us meaning in the present and gives us a hope in what is yet coming, the God who has addressed our past can be trusted to keep us from this point into the future. If all that be true, I have to ask you, those that are listening to this message, that have been referenced by those that not only attend this church but are connected. I know there are those of you that aren't even part of First Assembly, but you do listen to our messages every week. I hear from you. Listen, I got to ask you, come what may, as corona and the flu viruses and all of the rest of the pandemics are marching around this world, even at this present moment, I'm asking you, not if you've washed your hands, though I encourage you to, and use sanitizer, and don't panic, but prepare. I would say all those things to you, but even more important than that, I ask you today, are you truly born again? I'm not asking if you're a good American, if you're the faithful attender of church somewhere. Hell is full of Americans, of people that some of whom attended church every Sunday. But I'm asking you right now, do you know, by any shadow of doubt, if something was to happen to you in this day, and the Lord would break through the clouds of this atmosphere and gather his people unto himself, if the earth was to burst into flames and in a moment be vaporized, are you sure you're prepared to meet him? How simple is this gospel? The Christ who gave his life for our past, to resolve them once and for all, who is with us in the present that guarantees our future, is the one that Revelation 3:20 would write unto us, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in to him." Not maybe, not perhaps, I will. You see, if you've ever seen the picture of Christ standing at the door in the artist's rendition, notice, if you see it again, there is no handle on the outside of the door. Only the person on the inside can open. If you will open your heart to him today, he will come in. He will wash away the past. He'll secure the future. He'll bring meaning to your present. And even if the elements are melting on every hand, we need not fear. We can have faith because he's the Lord of yesterday, today, and forever. Heavenly Father, whomever, wherever, the men and women who have heard this message, teenagers, even children today. We hear so much. We read so much. People are scared half to death. But we need not panic. We can address all of these things with faith. Because you've not only resolved our past, you've guaranteed our future. We're not only going to get through this. These moments are going to remind us that there's more than just the here and now. There's a then and there. Even when the elements are melting and we see things changing, and it may truly be said that life will never be quite the same from where we are today. But that's not all bad. Because we need to ever be reminded this is not the end of all things at this moment in this place. May the men and women who are listening cannot be in attendance, and we would love them here, but cannot be, and maybe not even allowed to be. God forbid if further decisions are made that keep churches from meeting like we ever have. God forbid. But whatever may come, I pray, Lord, that you will take this message. If no one has heard anything I've said, may this message be driven in. That you who gave your life for what was will be with us now and will be with us yet to come. Strengthen your people. Anyone has listened that needs to make the decision of all decisions, give them the strength to do it now. Lord, be merciful unto us who are sinners, and we thank you today. We praise you today. Give people wisdom, provide for their every need, watch over them. Give them supernatural insight of places to avoid, of things not to do. We praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty and lovely name, amen and amen. And let me remind you that if you need to contact in any way, you can do so through our website. You can do so by contacting the church. Leave messages. We'll try to follow up in a timely fashion. And certainly, if there are matters that come to attention, please continue to access our website, Facebook, etc. and we'll try to keep you abreast. We're closed down because of quarantine. We hope that'll change very, very soon. In the meantime, we love you. We're praying for you. May God richly bless you and meet your every need. Amen.